Now on Sports Talk, it's SC Wild with Major Billy Downer of the Department of Natural Resources. Major Downer is here to take your questions about the great outdoors in South Carolina. Give him a call at 888-898-2525. It's SC Wild from DNR on the Sports Talk Radio Network.
We take a break from football talk here at SEC Media Days in Nashville to talk about the great outdoors in the state of South Carolina on this hot July evening. We welcome in once again Major Billy Downer from the Department of Natural Resources. So much going on the waters and in the fields and in the rivers and the oceans and everywhere else. Major, hope you're having a great week. It's great to have you with us. And take it away. What's on your mind tonight?
Well, it's going to be your favorite show tonight, Phil. This might be your top five of all time. It's going to involve one of your two favorite things to talk about. And I've even got a new guest on the show tonight who is not only an announced expert, but she really is an expert on this particular topic for tonight. We will be talking about the Gators, but not the Florida Gators tonight. It will be the Alligator here in South Carolina.
Oh, my
Back
goodness.
Back in the top of the news, lots of interest in the Alligator right now. I want to kind of talk about just what we're doing to, get out in front of things with alligators in our environment, as we always do on this show. Phil, we'll talk about the do's and don'ts of alligator, but I want to introduce Morgan to our show tonight. She is the Alligator Coordinator for the Department of Natural Resources. Morgan Hart, thanks for joining us tonight.
Hey, guys, am I live? Hey,
yep,
how's
live.
It going? Hi.
Well, Morgan, I appreciate you coming on. We talked about this about a week ago, but Phil Kornblut, you don't know, you may know, he's infamous. He is one of the biggest protagonists about alligators probably in the state with me. If we don't talk about alligators, we talk about sharks on this show. So tonight, we're going to try to keep it to the alligator and not go to Jaws. Can you do that, Phil?
I'm right with you, Major. Whatever you want to do, I'm right there with you.
Well, it's funny. We've talked about alligators so much on the show before. We tend to almost, in the summertime, it seems like we always talk about them. We're getting close to the alligator season coming up also, which is one of the ways that we control our population and allow folks to put in for a tag system. And Morgan, I'm going to be quiet at some point. Phil probably can't believe that, but I'll be quiet at some point and let you talk. But one of the things I wanted to talk about tonight with folks is because there's been a lot of interest lately with alligators and alligator bites. Phil, we talked about that 5 years ago. I could say we never had an alligator fatality in this state or a fatality involving an alligator, and that's just not the case now. And it's not that the alligator's the bad guy. It's just that we as population continue to move into the areas where they live. Their population is doing well, of course, but we as people in this great state just sometimes don't watch the signs and aren't smart with what we do sometimes when we walk around water in areas where alligators frequent. So some of the things we'll talk about tonight is just some of the things that we'd like to remind folks. Dogs and things like that. We'll get into that in a little bit. But we did have, unfortunately, a couple bites in the last week or two here at July 4th. And one was fatal. Two were not. But we want to talk about it tonight. Morgan, how long have you been over our alligator program, so to speak?
Yeah, so I've been working for DNR in general for about 6 years, and I've been over the alligator program for 4.5 of those. I'm the project leader and work with all the different programs that we run for, whether it's alligator removal or alligator permitting for captive alligators and education. So,
well, cool. So let me start with this, Morgan. There's a message that you would want to put you on the spot for a minute that you would want to start off with about alligators. What would you want to say to the folks that may not understand alligators or think they know alligators, but just what would you say from your standpoint with what you've been doing about alligator awareness?
Yeah, absolutely. Alligators learn very quickly, and so you can teach them to approach people. And the way you do that is, you know, you feed them, or you gut fish near the water, you dump fish guts in the water, you reel fish in quickly and get the alligator chasing the line. Some of that stuff is intentional and some of it is not. Some of it is people who just have been in the water, around the water, fishing their whole lives and don't think about those alligators. And once you teach those alligators to approach people for food, you know, that's when we have these situations that become very dangerous. Normal alligator behavior is to be scared of people, to move away from people. And so when you get these alligators that are intentionally approaching people, those are alligators that have been fed or are, you know, have been habituated to people through these actions that, you know, are not, are causes bad behavior.
Well, and again, it's not against the law to clean your fish, but it is
right
against the law to feed alligators. And if you're cleaning your fish at the water's edge on a dock and the guts are dumping in the water, while at that time you may not think you're littering, you're not doing anything wrong, you are creating an environment where that is attractive to alligators because it's free food. And they've
Absolutely.
Got a very small brain. They got a very small brain. Phil, we've talked about it, laughed about it, a little walnut-sized brain. It tells them two things, eat and procreate. And I don't want that alligator looking at me. I've said that every time I laugh about it. I don't want an alligator looking at me having to sigh because he doesn't have a whole lot of brain power.
I would add to that, Major, you know, that they do have a very small brain, and the way they learn, because of that small brain, you know, but they've survived all these years, and they are really good at surviving, and so they learn fast, and once it's learned, it's almost impossible to unlearn it because their brain is so small. So, you know, you like you said, you know, you're gutting fish into the water, and even if you don't think you're not intentionally feeding an alligator, you may be feeding an alligator. And we get these situations where these fishing boats, fishing, you know, even whether it's commercial or recreational, fishing boats will come into a landing or a dock and dump their fish scraps or, you know, whatever else in the water, in their mind, innocently. There'll be six or seven alligators just constantly hang out at that landing because that's where they get food, and that's where you get this concentration of alligators that are not scared of people, and people that don't know alligators are there, or maybe they're tourists or whatever, and they're getting in the water, they're, you know, walking in the water, they're putting their hands in the water, and you can get really, really serious situations.
And let's kind of connect the dots on that for a minute, Morgan. In case in point, when you have, and even I remember 20, 30 years ago, people going to some of our state parks and throwing bread out in the water for alligators. I mean, just don't think. They're feeding alligators, mm-hmm. whatever. Doing, I mean, not that bread's their diet, but everything's splashing in the water.
It's
just natural. But when you have an alligator that's used to seeing fish hit the water, they saw this person, this two-legged thing walk up, all of a sudden there's food in the water, they're going, like you said, I just learned something. Mm-hmm. When that person shows up, there's probably going to be some food in the water.
Yep.
Later
absolutely.
On, we're saying another person shows up, and they don't have any food. They don't know anything about what's been going on. The alligator still thinks, hey, they're supposed to have food, and that has created situations where alligators come up out of the water looking for that handout. Would you agree with that, Morgan? Is that a good description of how these things happen?
Absolutely. Yeah, and I've seen several, two or three videos recently that have been shared online and of alligators. You know, there was one on Hilton Head that chased the guy that had been fishing, and there's another one that was shared around. I don't know what location that was actually from, but shared around of an alligator coming up out of the water and, you know, following somebody for a good 10 feet up out of the water as he's moving away from the bank. I don't know that I would call it chasing, but, you know, some people might call it chasing. But these are situations. This is not natural or normal alligator behavior. This is clearly animals that have been fed by people. They're reeling their fish in. The fish is splashing. The alligator goes, hey, there's the food that I was promised last time somebody was fishing here, and let me go run after it, whether there's a person there or not.
Right, because I'm waiting for that food that's coming.
That's right.
And that's really how simple this stuff happens. And, Morgan, you and I were talking about this, and I know I've been in other conversations in the last week, Jay Butfalowski, others, just talking about how we're trying to adjust our messaging now to mm-hmm. really get to the point with people that, you know, and I've always said this, Phil, you've heard me talk about, and I give this credit a long time ago to a guy who used to do animal programs for DNR, and Jim Edwards, and he said people, he used to tell kids, he said, dogs, alligators, dogs taste like chicken. Alligators use a dog, they're coming after it. That's just their thing. So, it that sounds horrible, but it's animal instinct, and it's what that the alligator looks at a dog differently than it looks at a human. When he sees a dog, he's looking at opportunity. And
absolutely,
people don't understand that.
Right.
They have their leash, the dog's at the edge of the water. Oh, let's let that dog play in the water, splash. Let's let it get in the water and splash around. I've had a friend of mine who was a dog trainer, and we used to tell people, you know, 4 or 5 foot alligators are a problem. They're not going to hurt anything. Well, that's not necessarily true. When you put a dog in the water or a lab going after a dummy, first of all, the throwing dummy looks like something attracted to a small gator. And then the head of a dog in the water, if you think about it, the dog may be 60 pounds or 70 pounds, but his head is very small. And when it's going across the water, that's attracted to that alligator that's looking eye level in that water. And it creates a situation where your dog could get hurt. Yeah, that 5 foot alligator may not kill him, but it sure could hurt your dog, and nobody wants that. And you just got to be alligator aware.
Absolutely. And in the water, even a 5 foot alligator, you know, on land, a 5 foot alligator could, you know, maybe break your hand or break your ankle. But a 5 foot alligator in the water, all he has to do is hold on and go down. You know, and then most alligator fatalities and or, you know, dog injuries, dog where dogs are killed, is they die from drowning. They don't, you know, it's not like a shark where you're going to get, you know, bleed to death. It's from drowning. So they go down and they hold you underwater, and that's how these fatalities happen. So, you know, again, if you're on dry land.
Yep.
Yeah, that's right. And if you're on dry land, that can't happen. Yep.
When they're one big muscle and it's designed for swimming, their body's designed perfectly for it. On land, they're limited to those four legs. And let me say this, Phil, because people always want to say, if an owl comes at, gator comes after you, you should run in a zigzag pattern. That has nothing to do with it. You just need to get away from the area where alligators are. If an alligator's coming after you, it's already too late because you've gotten too close.
Does zigzagging help you at all if you're trying to run away? Or
it may make you feel better, but I mean, it may make it – no, it doesn't.
I would add the important thing is just to get away without falling down, right? So if even if that means you're backing up, you know, medium speed, you don't have to necessarily run. You just need to get away from the alligator and – you don't have to think about which direction, you know, zigzagging or any of that stuff. You just need to get away without falling down. Don't overcomplicate it.
Right. The zigzag doesn't necessarily do anything but make you have to think more and you may trip.
Mm-hmm.
Like she's saying,
that's right.
Run away. But I go back to the be alligator aware and stay away from that situation where alligator's going to come out at you. Go ahead, Phil. You're dying.
I just want to, since we're on the subject here, I wanted to ask Morgan, and it's great having you with us, and we got to have you back because this is fascinating stuff to me, of course, because Major knows that I have a phobia about alligators for some reason. I think it's from talking to him over all these years. I've created this phobia.
Well, you should talk to me, and I'll hopefully cure you of that phobia. So,
what has been your experience in dealing hands-on with gators? I mean, have you actually, you know, put hands on and dealt with them in a close-up situation?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we do multiple different levels of research on alligators. And so that includes things like capturing large adult male alligators and attaching GPS tags to them and then tracking them over the course of a couple of years. We do mark recapture, so we go out on a couple of the WMAs, and we capture these alligators, measure them, you know, take some measurements of their not only their size, but how healthy they are. Sometimes we take blood, we mark them, and then we release them, and then you can get information long-term about, you know, where they're going, if you see them again, if they've grown, things like that. So I would say I've captured and had hands on 200 to 300 alligators. I've only had to kill a few, but most of the alligators I've captured, you know, we pull in, we tie them up, close their mouth and do what we need to do, and then let them go safe and sound. So,
and how did you off them when you had to off them?
I use a knife.
A knife? You do it with a knife?
Yeah, behind. Yes, that's correct. Yeah.
Yeah, so, Phil, let me explain something. I've said this before. It's worth saying now before we get to the gory details. This is not gator hunting and all that like you see in Louisiana. We're not out there running around shooting gators off the water. That's not what we do, because if you're shooting with a rifle, you miss, that bullet skips, you got a bigger problem because you might hit somebody else mm-hmm. or some unintended target. Our alligator season, for instance, we go back through that. Gators have to be taken by hook and line and pulled to the boat. Now, are you with a bow and arrow with a fishing line attached to the arrow? You have to have the gator in your possession, which means up to the boat in control, and then you can dispatch the gator with a handgun or a bang stick, or if you wish, a knife behind the head, just like she said. But it has to be controlled, not uncontrolled. So that's one thing. Now, there are situations where we have control agents that come in, and I want to hit on that more before we get off, because that's just to talk about the process so people understand that. But control agents sometimes will use a firearm to take a gator from a distance. But they have been doing this. We consider them professionals, and they take safety as the first regard. But Morgan,
and
they
also have to get special permission from us to every time they need to do that. So
absolutely, that's correct. And I've been doing this for 25 years in the field. That was my job. I said that and laughed about it. My first couple of years as a game warden, I was the alligator boy. Every time there was an alligator call, I had to go. So, and I was on Lake Marion, so there's a lot of them. So I know a lot about the alligator our control agents. Anyway, Morgan, let's talk. You know, gators are a natural part of the environment. They've been here for a long time, as you so aptly put. They've been here a long time. And longer on the lakes than we've been on the lakes. And when they become a problem is when they start showing up, and sometimes there's reasons for that. We've talked about fish dumping off the dock, things like that, and get a large gator hanging off in the end of your dock, or your kids are swimming in by the lake, and this 12-foot alligator sitting there, she's flashing, he comes up, he investigates. But now we're scared because it's a 12-foot alligator. What do we do?
Well, there's lots of different situations that could come up, but if we're talking about we're talking about public waterways on a lake where either you live there or you're visiting. If you're looking at an alligator and you think that alligator's behavior is unacceptable or strange, or it's not just sitting over on the bank on the other side, or it's not just happened to be swimming by, you can call us. We have regional coordinator. Nuisance coordinator numbers all over the state, and those can be found on our website. You can also call the Operation Game Thief line. Our dispatchers are trained in how to respond to these nuisance alligator calls, and if it's something that's an emergency, they have the ability to dispatch an agent to come deal with that alligator. If it's more of something where we want to, kind of investigate over time, then it'll go to a coordinator, and we'll follow up with you, call you back, and figure out what's going on. But, we get about 2,000 to 3,000 nuisance complaints a year. A good portion of those are just people who don't know anything about alligators, and they're calling because they saw an alligator. Or they have seen alligators before, but they didn't realize how big they were, all kinds of things like that. If, however, you see an alligator or you have an alligator on your private property that's become a problem, you can also call. And in those cases, unless it's a serious emergency where someone needs to respond immediately, we can actually issue nuisance tags to you so that you can hire a removal company to come remove that alligator if it is actually a nuisance alligator.
Guys, real quick, if I may, sorry to jump in, Major. Mm-hmm. So in the past here, we have a gator hunting season coming up soon. Correct me if I'm wrong here. September 9th through October 14th. There was the lottery, though, where you were to apply for those permits, which was June 1st through July 15th. So that's now in our rearview mirror. Do you guys foresee any increase in either number of tags issued or maybe a longer duration of alligator hunting season moving forward, or do you think at this point it's going to stay the way it is?
Morgan, let's take that.
Yeah, that's fine. So at this point, it's certainly not off the table. We did increase the number of tags last year in a temporary fashion after we had the you know, the two fatalities last year. There's certainly the option. We may reach that point going forward. My guess would be we'd be more likely to issue more tags than to open the season longer. But again, that's going to depend a lot on, you know, the harvest numbers we're seeing, because just because we're issuing more tags doesn't mean people are going to be able to take more alligators. I mean, there's only so many alligators in these public waterways. Also, the public season, a lot of these public waterways where you know, public hunting is allowed, those aren't necessarily the alligators that are causing these nuisance problems. A lot of times the gators that are causing these problems are in small communities, HOAs, golf courses, places like that. So really the nuisance program is the more useful solution to that, where we're issuing tags to these small communities and they're able to sort of manage the population of the alligators that are on these properties. And also at the same time, you know, they're educating their residents and they are putting up signage that we can supply them for free, you know, to try to address this in a holistic fashion rather than just a let's remove more gators fashion. Because we do think that the alligator population is stable, but it is not, you know, significantly increasing. The interaction increase that we're getting between people and alligators is because of the number of people is increasing, not the number of alligators. So, you know, we don't want to run into a situation where we're just removing all of the alligators because we've got so many people that people are, you know, running into them all the time.
And Morgan, I have done this. You don't know this, but I have reminded constantly that alligators are a natural part of the ecosystem. They have a place in it. Small
Absolutely.
Alligators eat turtles and snakes. That's the main say of their diet, which is good for ponds and things to get snakes. And people don't want turtles. Mm-hmm. They want alligators eating them. When does that start to change in their size, their food, as far as what they eat?
Well, so, yeah, alligator size, as it increases, certainly the maximum or the largest prey they can take changes and increases. But that doesn't mean that they only hunt that large prey. They're still eating the small prey, too. In fact, there was a study out of Florida where they worked with National Geographic and they put cameras on the alligator heads and released them and looked at their feeding patterns over the course of a couple of weeks. And even very large alligators were eating you know, small fish, frogs, you know, even aquatic insects and things, because they can feel the movement of those very small critters in the water without even really seeing them. They can feel it in their face. So, you know, it doesn't, just because you're seeing a large alligator doesn't mean he's out there only eating deer or only eating, you know, a raccoon or a dog or something. He's also eating, I mean, he would certainly take a deer if he could get it, but he certainly is also eating, like I said, the frogs and toads and small fish and even aquatic worms and things like, you know, really small prey that is what is making up a large chunk of the calories he's got to take in.
Well, Morgan, thank you for joining us tonight. We're almost at the end of the show, but one parting thought you want to give to folks?
Well, we already talked about not feeding alligators. I would also say that, you know, feeding any wildlife in the water could potentially be feeding alligators. You know, you're going to feed the ducks or the turtles or whatever. You could also be unintentionally feeding alligators. So, you know, it is my advice that you just don't feed wildlife, especially in waterways, and appreciate it as a wild animal that is over there rather than coming towards you for food.
Absolutely. Well, Morgan, thanks a lot for being on the show. Phil, another wrap up here for our wild show tonight.
It was. That's great stuff. Thank you, Morgan.
Yeah, thanks, Morgan.
Of course.
Thank you very much. And Major, thank you, sir. Have a great couple of weeks, and we'll connect with you in early August. That is SC Wild with Major Billy Downer. And Morgan, I missed Morgan's last name. Was it? I heard him mention it, but thank you, Morgan, for doing a great job. Very interesting stuff and very informative, and a word for the wise there, to be honest with you, about how to deal with the alligator situation. That'll do it. We'll see you tomorrow. Gamecocks in town.